deals with apostates, how God deals with apostates. And he uses Israel as an example here. Israel as an example. And as the men are passing out any a handout that you might not have received, raise your hand. And we'll just continue with the message. Jude has just finished warning the churches of the apostates. And he has explained to them that they are not new. He says they were before of old ordained to this condemnation. And he tells them these apostates are godless. They're ungodly men. And we learned last time that these apostates have a false view of grace. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. It's like it's all about liberty. Liberty to sin, liberty to do everything, anything you want. And that's turning the grace of God into loose living, lasciviousness. And then we learn that they deny the lordship of Christ. It says, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of similarities between Peter's epistles, the writings of Peter, and the writings of Jude. You read 1 Peter, 2 Peter, you'll find it's very similar to just this one chapter book of Jude. And just like Peter does in referring to fallen angels and Noah and Lot, and he reaches all the way back into Old Testament history, and he gives us three ways, three illustrations of how God dealt with apostates. He tells us how God delivered the righteous, and he judged the apostates, the ungodly. Now, Peter mentions the flood. He mentions Noah. And Jude chooses to talk about Israel as his example. Well, the whole point that Jude makes is that God judges apostates. And he's basically saying, you folks, you have some false teachers in your church. They've crept in unawares. That's why we call them creeps. And one day they're going to be judged by God. And even though they, for the moment, seem to be successful, God's going to have his last and final word. Well, it begs the question, what is an apostate? What is an apostate? Well, it comes from two words, apostasis. Apo means to away from, stasis means to stand. Someone who stands or falls away from something or someone. A person who falls away or withdraws or defects from the faith. Abandons the faith. One dictionary, the wonderful Wikipedia, not really, but defines an apostate as someone who embraces an opinion contrary to what he used to believe. That's interesting. I agree with that, by the way. You go into the book of Jude, verses 5 through 7, Jude will use three examples of judgment from God as a warning to false teachers. He'll talk about the nation of Israel, which we'll look at tonight. He'll talk about fallen angels. That'll be verse 6. And then he'll talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. That'll be verse 7. So let's talk about the nation of Israel. Look at verse 5. It's again, I will therefore put you in remembrance. Jude, verse 5. Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people, Israel, out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. It's basically destroyed apostates. Now let's look at that verse. Let's just take it apart a little at a time. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. It's like you want to say that sometimes to people. Hey, let me remind you of something that you should know. Listen, you've learned this. You have read the scriptures. You've grown up in the church. You've grown up under Bible preaching and teaching. Let me remind you of something.
And that's what Jude is doing. You know, actually, Scripture is full of verses which call us to remember certain things, certain events. Well, why is that? Well, I don't think it's because we're all stupid. But I think it's because there are certain things that are vital for us to remember. Like, let me give some illustrations of Scripture, how it tells us to remember. Luke 17, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. John 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Acts 20, verse 35. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Galatians 2:10, remember the poor. 2 Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have rule over you. He said to the church of Ephesus, Revelation 2, verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and then repent and do the first works. Very important for us to remember, to acknowledge our sin, to repent of it, and then rebuild our lives. Well, God told Moses to give instructions to the Israelites to wear, actually in the context of what we're going to look at, to wear tassels on their clothes. As a remembrance, turn to Numbers chapter 15. He said, wear tassels on your clothes, verse 39. That she may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. Now we'll look at some other passages. Some of you haven't gotten there yet. So just hang on. Go back to Jude. Jude knows that these Christians to whom he is writing already have an intellectual understanding of the Bible basic stories he's going to mention. The only problem is, they are demonstrating their lack of understanding by the way they act, by their behavior. What does that mean? They understood the scriptures intellectually, but not practically. They had all the Bible stories down, but their lifestyle didn't match what God's word said. I don't know, maybe they looked at the Old Testament stories like many do, simply as good old stories for the children, and really have no significance for adults in this day and age. That's good for our kids. Now, I appreciate Jude's straightforward, his actually confrontational approach as he brings these Old Testament examples before his readers to remind them, you're not going to get away with apostasy. So, back to the verse 5, he says, remember how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. You actually realize that God intervenes several times on behalf of Israel. As we study the way God led Israel, as we study the way God intervened, stepped in on their behalf, we think of two main things, two main events. Number one, we think of the deliverance of Israel. Exodus chapters 1 through 14. We'll not get into this very deep here. Moses and Egypt and the Pharaoh and the plagues and killing the firstborn, and God delivered Israel. Very important event in the formation of Israel and keeping them from becoming slaves. I think it's one of the most important events in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, this was used to illustrate the way Christians are set free from the bondage of sin and death. Jesus used the Greek word exodus to describe his death as an exodus from earth. So this first intervention of God with the nation of Israel, I think, is by far the most popular one. You ask Jews to talk about the deliverance of Israel. And many times they'll talk about Moses and Egypt and Pharaoh and the plagues. It presents God as the Savior of the world. Now, there is another big intervention of God with Israel. And it presents God as the judge of Israel. And I'm going to read several verses here, so hang on. Turn to Numbers. Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 13, fourth book in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 13, you know the story. Moses sent 12 men to spy out the land that God had promised to give Israel. And they returned saying that the land was very fertile, but it was well fortified. Now, look at verse 27, Numbers 13. And they told him and said, "We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land on the south, of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." Now they're giving a report here. "But the men that went up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight.'" Now, of course, you have the people murmuring at that account of the spies. Go to verse 1. Numbers 14, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron." Murmured. "The whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt.'" Bunch of babies. "Or would God we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore, why hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be a prey? Why? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt?" They said one to another, "Let's make a captain." Let's vote on a captain, guys. "And let us return unto Egypt." Very, very popular story among the Jews. So you've got Joshua and Caleb laboring to still the people. Look at verse 5, Numbers 14. "Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes." Can you picture that? Running among the people, ripping their clothes apart. "And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, when he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey.'" Now, I think there's a key verse. "Only rebel not ye against the Lord." Don't you feel like saying that sometimes to somebody? Hey, listen. God's given you so much. He saved you. He's given you good parents. He's given you a good church, good youth pastor. Why are you rebelling? What's up with that? That's the same old through history. "Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land." Get your eyes off peer pressure, buddy. "For they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with them. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. That's so typical. "I hate you, Mom. I hate you, Dad. I'm trying to help you, buddy. I love you. That's why I'm drawing the line. I hate you. I hate our church. I hate that. I just hate you. I'll kill you." How many times have I heard that the last few months, of not just Woodside Kids, some, but other places? I mean, it's just like you catch a fool in his follies, he'll tear you up more than a wild mama bear when you mess with her whelps, it says in Proverbs, or babies. A fool will lash out at you and accuse you. Well, that's what they're doing here. The congregation bade stone them with stone. Let's stone to death Moses and Caleb. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Look at verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Oh, I hope we're not that way. Which murmur against me. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. God hears our murmurings. He's not deaf. He hears it when we complain and murmur and talk against authority. Which they murmur against me, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Watch this, he gets graphic. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upwards, have murmured against me. Boy, he spares the youth group there. 20 and older. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness. Your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcass be wasted in the wilderness. Yikes, that's Jehovah God speaking. He doesn't tolerate apostasy. He says in verse 34, after the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They are consumed, and there they shall die. Then, verse 45, the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that city, and smote them. Israel. Rebellious Israel came down and smote them and discomfited them. That word discomfited means crushed them, beat them, destroyed them. Even unto Hormah, just another area. So we have two main interventions of God with his people Israel. The deliverance and the destruction. What's the difference? What's the difference between the two? Well, in the first situation, the deliverance, what did God's people do? They believed. They trusted him. So what did God do? Therefore, God delivered them. Now, in the second situation, God's people didn't believe. They rebelled. They refused to trust God. They refused to submit to the lordship of God, his leadership, his authority. So what did God do? He destroyed them. One writer put it this way, we too lie between two great events in history. Behind us is the cross, which provides the only possible escape from the judgment, which lies before us. And the only way to gain the benefit from that is to believe it now. But there are people in our churches who look and sound like the people of God, but who will not be saved on the last day because they rebel against God's promises, against God's authority, against God's rule. He says, like the Israelites in the desert, they do not believe, and in consequences, they will face the judge. These are the apostates. That was the case in the wilderness. It is the case in Jude's day, and it will be the case in ours. So here's the big question. I was asked before the service tonight. A good question. Can a Christian commit apostasy? Now, I've made some pretty powerful statements today. This morning, I talked about true Christians thirsting after God. Remember that? John chapter 7, out of your belly, talks about rivers of water, streams of water, the river of life. Jesus said, you put your trust in Him, Holy Spirit will give you that faith, give you that desire. So, can a Christian commit apostasy? Well, again, the word apostasy, apostasis, means to stand away from, to stand apart from the truth, to defect or revolt. Apostasis. Apo means away from. Stasis means to stand away. So what's the answer, Pastor? Can a Christian commit apostasy? Wouldn't this be a great discussion tonight? Are you with me? Well, I have two answers. Yes and no. Can a Christian stand in opposition to various truths in the Bible like moral purity, eternal security of the believer? Yeah, I know Christians who stand against that. I think that's apostasy from God's word. But I think they're saved. Then I say no. Now you find someone who stands in opposition to Christianity. Christ, the deity of Christ, the blood atonement. So here's a person who brought up in the Christian home, brought up in a church, brought up in a youth group, Bible quizzing, soul winning, Christian school. And they turn away from the truth. They make a profession when they're little. They get baptized. But now today they've turned away. They stand away from Christ. Don't believe that Jesus is God. The blood atonement. I found talked with one man, older man, his doctor actually, that brought up in a pastor's home, good man, knows the scripture. It was a leader in his youth group, large youth group. Now today, he just wrote a book denying Christ, denying the authority of the scriptures. He told me face to face, and I asked him, he said, I don't believe any of the scriptures written by Paul are the word of God. Now, what about somebody like that? No, they're standing against Christ. They're standing against the blood atonement. I don't believe that man was saved to begin with. I do not believe, by the way, the Holy Spirit will allow that kind of apostasy from a born-again Christian. So, verse 5 here, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. They apostatized. God destroyed all of them that believed not. So who are the ones who made it to the promised land? Well, their children did. And I believe that there had to be some in the whole nation of Israel who did believe, who did not apostatize. But, listen, the believing Jews suffered the judgment of God along with those who chose to not believe and rebel. They were judged as well. They were killed as well. I'm not saying they went to hell. A good cross-reference for this would be 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. We're told that there are five things that characterize those who died in the wilderness. Five things listed against them which brought the judgment of God upon them. Now, let me just give this to you. Five things that characterized Israel, that when they, Israel in general. Let me just give that to you first. They were all under the cloud, we're told. They all passed through the sea. They're all baptized under Moses. They all ate the same spiritual meat. And they all drank the same spiritual drink. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:4 says that. They did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, there are five things listed against them that brought on the judgment of God. Number one, they lusted against evil things. Number two, they became idolaters. Number three, they committed fornication. They were immoral. By the way, you can find these five steps in a person brought up around it all, but it turned away from it. It's five things. Lust against evil things. Something happened where they were influenced by a book or by a TV program or by a movie or by evil pictures. Wrong crowd, wrong teacher, immoral teacher. Well, they began to lust against evil things. They became idolaters. They began to set these things up. Wrong idols, people, places, things before God. They committed fornication. There's the next thing. They got involved in immorality. They tempted Christ. And then they murmured. Oh, they murmur. Your moms and dads, those in authority, you're always the bad guy when it comes to the apostates. They don't like you. Actually, whether it's a child or a friend or a relative, as we prayed for, you're the bad guy. And you're the one that's gone off the deep end. So Paul concludes that statement in 1 Corinthians 10 with verse 12. He says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, the writer of Hebrews chapter 3, actually in verse 12, has a warning for us. In fact, turn to this. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's turn to it real quick. Let's all look at it. Hebrews chapter 3. Here's what we do with each other tonight. Here's what we do this week. You've got texting, you've got email, you've got Facebook. Here's what you do. Here's how this will look as far as our response. Here's what God expects us, that we protect our body, protect ourselves from having those become apostates that rebel against the truth. Hebrews 3, look at verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed. Look out. What's the next verse say we're supposed to do? I think I can quote it, but let me give it to you. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it's still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort each other. Encourage each other. Sharpen each other. Talk to each other. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I've been praying for you this week. I'm thinking about you this week. You have time for lunch. You have time for coffee. Nor to exhort one another. So what did Israel lose because of their apostasy? They lost the blessings of God, as we read. They lost the blessings of God. They were simply physically destroyed. God destroyed them. And they lost their opportunity to enter the promised land. Now, we'll see that this kind of thing in the case of the angels and Sodom and Gomorrah. He talks about everlasting chains and the vengeance of eternal fire are mentioned. I mean, not so with Israel, though. Now, what's the message to us? And here we are, and we'll close. What is it to us? And by the way, it'll take a while to close, so don't start shutting your Bibles. Here's the so what. It's one thing to believe and to be saved. It's another thing to enter the land of promise by believing God and His Word. Just because you prayed a prayer, just because you received Christ, That doesn't cut it. I mean, you're saved, but God expects you to enter the land of promise by believing Him and being in His Word and obeying His Word. Next thing, unbelief kept Israel from enjoying the land of the life of Canaan. I mean, he goes on in Hebrews chapter 3, we looked at verse 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. So it is with us. We could very well go our whole life without enjoying the rest that God gives us through Christ. And that's why he goes into Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of. So why did God give us these lessons from the nation of Israel? Well, back to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 and 12, it says, now all these things happened to them for our examples. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Watch this. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Just like Israel. Nation of Israel. Now you're in Jude. Look at verse 6. Let me read verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance. So you once knew this. How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, just like Israel, just like the angels, giving themselves over to fornication. It seems like fornication is a theme through all these that fell, that apostatized. You see that in Romans 1. Here's a young man or a young lady, older man, older lady, who all of a sudden turns against God, turns against the church, drops out. Now we're his enemy. Probably started when he got involved in pornography. Probably started when he began to look at things on his smartphone that were immoral or on his computer. And just that process ate away of his faith. Giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Is not this powerful? Father, thank you for your word. Let it not be said by any of our folks that they stand against the truth. And Lord, there are those listening to me that have never truly repented of sin and turned to Christ. They've been brought up with it. In a sense, they've been inoculated. They've heard it, they're bored, but they've never invited Christ into their lives. Oh, dear God, I pray that you would help them to understand the truth. Help us as a church to exhort one another, lest any be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Your head's bowed, let me ask you this. You agree with this? Say amen if you agree with this.
Amen.
But how did God speak to your heart? Maybe he spoke to your heart about exhorting. Maybe you're thinking about a person, a child, or someone in the church, or someone out there that has turned against God, and maybe it's they've never been exhorted. Maybe this week you can go after them. Make an appointment with them. Rescue them. Maybe in your life you find yourself getting this way. I think the key is for us to submit to the Lordship of Christ and to submit to the studying of God's Word. And Father, we do think tonight again of Terry. Salvation that Christina asked us to pray about. Kenny, Mary Jane, and Tucker. God, you're the God of miracles. You can do the impossible. We're asking you as a body to bring them full circle to yourself. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.